This is 7/25/88. This is a recording with Holly Barker, and the recording is being made in her apartment. If you could give me your name and age.
My name is Holly Beth Barker, and I'm 23. I'm a music major in college, applied piano.
And your hometown?
Where I'm originally from?
Yeah.
I'm from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Pittsburgh.
Up in Delaware, so we're neighbors. Well, are you in your second year of college, or how many years of college do you have?
Well, I guess if I transfer to another college, right now I'm at the community college level, okay? I'd be going into my junior year in college, yes.
Will you do that?
Yes,
transfer
I will.
To Michigan State?
No, not to Michigan State.
Where will you go?
Well, I've applied to a few different universities, but I'd like to go to University of Miami in Coral Gables. They have a private school, and they have an excellent music program there, a very progressive program.
When did your interest in music begin?
Well, it began when I was very young. I was always interested in music and musicals, and probably around. Oh, I think all children like music, but I think I developed a real interest around 6 or 7 and wanted to take lessons at that time.
What, did the influence come from a parent?
Not particularly. My parents aren't extremely musically inclined. They enjoy music, they enjoy the arts, but I don't think it was their influence. I think it was
more. Where did it come from? Did it come from a music teacher?
No, I think it was more cultural. I think it was media. I think it was when I grew up, I think there was a lot of music-type scenes. I grew up on college campuses hanging out. You know, my father was a professor, and there was a lot of music going on. It was during the 60s, and there was a lot of popular music, you know, exploding. And I think I was influenced at a very early age by that scene and wanted to play.
Classical music?
Well, no, I'd have to say my first influences were pop-oriented or, like I said, media, music that would be exposed in the media, especially at that time. There was a lot of music about, you know, Vietnam and a big, you know, cultural movement of, you know, the baby boom generation. There was an awful lot of teenagers at that time that were, you know, writing and talking about love and war and things like that, and I think that's where my first influence came from. But I did start playing classical music, but always held my interest in, you know, popular.
Has there ever been a doubt that music was the field you wanted to study?
I think a lot. You know, I had a lot of interest, but when I finally made up my mind that was what I was going to do, I've stuck with it.
When did you make up your mind? How old were you?
I think I was 18. I decided
it was time. What do you want to do with music?
I like performance quite a bit, but I also want to write my own songs, so composition is a big interest too. I also like working in the studio. I like having a home studio. Music is really an interdisciplinary skill. You know, there's so many aspects that you can go into. You know, you could almost be an electrical engineer to work in a studio, you know, to have that kind of information, or else you could get in the physics end of music. I mean, there's so many different aspects that you can follow, but preferably I'd like to be writing my own songs and performing them, and then everything else is sort of a sub-interest.
Are these classical pieces that you would be writing, or pop, or?
It's hard to describe because my interest in types of music have changed. I love classical, you know. I think pop is very good if you want to speak to a lot of people, you know, pop music. But I really like jazz music as far as the amount of technical ability that's required and the spontaneity that's required of the music. So I'd like to say the technical ability of a classical musician combined with maybe the dynamics of pop rock, and also, you know, mix that into a type of fusion, you know, with the, you know, harmonic structure of jazz. I don't know if you can understand that or not, but I guess I'd like to make my own music. I'd like, a fusion of music that wouldn't necessarily fall into one specific category.
Do you think you'll be able to make a living through your compositions and performances?
I think I enjoy what I do, and, you know, and I think as long as you enjoy what you do, you can make a living doing it. I know I'll have to go to the right locations. I don't know if I could make a living, say, in Lansing doing this, but in a bigger city, I would definitely think there would be a place.
Do you really think that you can always make a living at the thing that you want to do?
Always. Are you talking about always? You mean like from the...
You said that you felt that you could usually make a living at what
you wanted to do. I think if someone has the motivation and the desire, they can find something at least related to what they like to do. But I might have been talking about myself personally, because I feel that, you know, I have a lot of, you know, visions and dreams. And, you know, I think if I really believe in creative visualization and visualizing things to come true for you. So I think, you know, with a positive approach, you know, I just have to keep jumping those obstacles that are in my way trying to get there. But, I think I can. Somebody else who's not as motivated to do what they really desire, and they'll stop themselves just by their own inhibitions or, you know, their own negative attitudes, I think they might stop themselves from doing what they want to do.
Well, when you look at your own motivation, do you see yourself as being more motivated than many students that you rub elbows with at LCC?
I think so. I think I'm a different kind of student there. I think a lot of my fellow students, I don't necessarily want to call them peers, because I don't feel that they're in my immediate peer group. I don't know if I have a peer group, I'm not sure. But I think that they are sort of wandering. A lot of them are wandering aimlessly, or else have fallen into some sort of pattern that someone else has told them somewhere along the lines that they should do this. Or if they are a musician, I think lots of times they feel that there's no way that they're going to succeed at that, so maybe I should become a teacher or something. Not all of them. Some people are really excellent teachers and are meant to teach, but I think a lot of them go in that area because they just enjoy music and they want to do something with it, but they don't really have enough. You gotta be able to take a lot to be a performer. You know, your ego has to be able to take quite a bit.
Well, somehow you have a confidence which many other students don't have.
Well, I'm not sure if it's a confidence in my own musical ability, because I think there's a lot of musicians that have been trained all their life and that might, you know, be better at doing, you know, or playing their instrument than I am, but I think it's a self-confidence. I don't think it comes necessarily from my great ability, quote unquote, you know, on the piano. I don't think I'm a great musician, at least not yet.
But where does that confidence come from? Why you and not others?
I don't know, maybe a good, I think I had real positive parents, you know, who told me that if I took every negative situation and turned it into a positive approach, then I'd be on top of our system here, at least a capitalistic system. So I think that's part of it, you know, and I think, you know, a certain amount of faith and spiritual beliefs, maybe.
Can you talk a little bit about how much work you put in every day?
Well, as you know, even trying to get together for this session was hard for me. So, well, I get up, then I go to work from, if you really want to know, I do about 30 minutes of yoga in the morning before I go to work, and I think that helps me to relax too before I go to work. And then I go to work 4 hours in the morning.
Where do you work?
At Michigan State University right now.
Can you talk about what you do there?
Right now I work as a computer, let's see, I don't, operator, data entry type position. And So I do anything from word processing to entering data to working like with networking and modems and things like that. But that sort of, I wasn't trained in computers at all. I learned about computers from my interest in music. And so that spurred me to learning to computers, which in turn I found out, well, this is something I can do while I'm going to school, you know, and make a living at doing. I don't really enjoy it, no. I mean, I enjoy computers as they apply to music, but, you know, as they apply to other, you know, things, they're interesting, but I don't.
So every day, 5 days a week, you go to work at MSU?
Sure, yes, for 4 hours a day, and then I usually, you know, come home and I practice. I play piano and I play guitar and I take voice lessons. I play two different types of music on piano, classical and jazz, so that requires different practicing. You know, I'll warm up on the piano. Usually I play piano in the afternoon because my neighbors allow me at night, don't like, you know, this, you know, the, well, some of them have liked it, but, you know. So I'll play up during my practicing hours.
Yeah.
Then. Okay, well, I'll warm up, let's see, for, say, about an hour doing classical exercises, and then I'll play classical music for about another hour, maybe an hour and a half, you know, as time allows. Then I'll warm up, you know, I take breaks in between them, and then I'll warm up and do, you know, say some jazz exercises. Maybe that's a half an hour, because I'm already pretty warmed up by now, but I'll do some, you know, specific things that apply towards jazz music, and maybe I'll, like, run through, you know, some songs that I'm doing for about another hour. I practice guitar about 2 hours a day. And then lots of times late at night, because I have my studio, I can control the sound, you know, so it doesn't, you know, either I play through headphones or, you know, hook into the board. And I've got a friend that I've been playing with at night practicing, you know, jazz songs and stuff like that at night.
So how many hours a day are you averaging, if you include your practice on the piano, the guitar, and if you
voice,
also include
yeah.
the voice sessions
yeah.
with teachers?
Sure. Oh, with you want like school included in this too?
No, just practice. Let's
just in general practice. Well, you know, it like I said, it varies. Because I don't, you know, always play at night with and you know, singing with my friend, but I'd say it would be between at least 5 at the minimum, you know, on days that I'm in school, 5 to anywhere, you know, between 7 to 8 hours a day, yeah.
So let me get this straight. You're working at MSU
yeah.
4 hours a day.
Yeah.
You're practicing voice, piano, or guitar 7 or 8 hours. We're already up to about 11 hours. We haven't included the hours you spent in classes, right?
Yeah.
So if we include that, we're talking at least an average of another 2 or 3 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking of a minimum of a 14-hour day.
Yeah, usually. That's during, you know, when I'm in school on a regular basis. Yeah, that's because then lots of times. You know, a lot of my practicing is my homework for class, but then, you know, I have homework too. I've got written homework
Could
afterwards.
Could you sum up just what I said?
Well, I work at Michigan State University for 4 hours a day. I practice anywhere from a minimum of 5 hours till about 8 hours a day on various instruments and various types of music, which are piano, voice, and guitar. And on piano, I play classical music and jazz. And during the school year, if you include the days that I'm in class and the time spent on homework, I'm usually involved in a 14 to 16 hour day. And some of it's really nonstop, yeah.
So what do you do for fun?
That is my fun. I mean, my music is my fun. That's what I enjoy doing. I have a boyfriend who is very much interested in the same things, and I think that's, we've been going out for a year, and I think that's about the only reason why it even works is because he plays with me at night, and he's very supportive of what I'm doing and doesn't try and distract from what I'm doing. And he's very active himself, so I think that's probably why that works. Or else I don't know if it would. I don't know if, you know, dating, whatever.
So you really love work. What you do?
Yeah.
That's great. Well, you must have some awareness that you're very special. I mean, you have a schedule and a concentration which not too many college students have.
It seems like a lot of college students are busy, but I don't know. I don't know what their schedules are really like, you know. Though, because my sister who was in college, too, was very dedicated to her art, you know, she was... You know, she definitely painted and lived almost, you know, for a while there. When she was in grad school, she lived, you know, like almost a hermit lifestyle too. So I guess, you know, I don't know what other people's lifestyles are. You know, I see, you know, certain people and I wonder how they're getting through in college. But I don't really pay that close attention to what they're doing.
And you really... trace at least part of this ability to concentrate and to get a positive value out of what you do. You really get, you say that comes from your parents, in part.
Well, yes, in part, and I think enjoying what I do is a big part of it, enjoying that. I don't think I'd have the same motivation to do, you know, something like be a business administrator or something like that. I wouldn't have the same motivation.
Do you have any kind of a timetable in all this? Do you want to achieve a certain level of recognition by a certain time, or you throw in the towel, or I'm really reducing
yes.
this to gross term. If you haven't reached point D by such and
no.
such a year, are you going to be discouraged?
No, I don't think age should be a factor. That's one thing about pop and rock music is that it really does, you know, it limits you because you, the people that sell that kind of music, you know, you're talking to a teenager type crowd, and you know, you can't always relate. You know, you get older, and you just can't go around singing My Generation when you're 40 years old and, you know, expect to relate to, you know, teenagers. So I think classical music and jazz music is sort of somewhat timeless in that respect, that you could be playing that for the rest of your life. You know, and your audience is going to be usually, you know, the majority is going to be an older audience with a few younger people. So, I don't think so. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to have, like, some prime years or something like that. I mean, I imagine I will, but I don't think that, you know, I think it's going to take a long time. I look at it as, you know, like, I'll be developing, you know, and maybe my prime years will be when I'm 40 or 50. You know, you never know when, you know, sometimes I think I won't have anything worthwhile to say until I'm 40 or 50. Looking, hindsight is always a lot better than foresight.
But you could still perform the work of others.
I mean, I think I can write some good instrumental stuff now, but, you know, I think the more feelings and things I experience, the better off I'm going to be as far as, you know, relating that experience to others. For contrast.
Are you talented in other ways? I mean, were you good in school in mathematics and other subjects as well?
Yeah. I was good in mathematics and I didn't really excel too much in English. I mean, I was good in school in general, but I had aptitude, I think, for mathematics and comprehension. I think I was interested in math and music is very technical and it's very mathematical too, so I think that's why I excel in music. But as far as, I've always loved the arts, and so I love anything that pertains to the arts, writing, literature, you know, painting, things like that. You know, I have appreciation for, and I've dabbled into and enjoy, if I have any free time, I like to paint.
Did you ever consider just dabbling in all of them rather than
focusing
so much
on
one.
Music was so, there were so many aspects already that it seems like I could combine my interest of, you know, the engineering side, which would be working in a studio, and now with all the, you know, new tech, high tech equipment and stuff like that, I can be fulfilled, you know, through, the, you know, that area could be fulfilled. As far as my writing, I could write lyrics, you know, to go with my music. I could, you know, do music, and if I wanted to draw the cover of an album, I could draw the cover. You know, it just seemed like everything could be combined into one. So I think I, you know, my sister wanted me to go into art quite a bit, but she thought I could make it as an artist too, but I preferred music.
Well, generally speaking, have you been happy with the courses that you've taken at LCC or?
Well, a lot of them have been taught, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I'm happy with the teachers that I've sought out. I think I've been very happy. I think it's like at any school, if you find the good teachers, and if you talk to people, and they'll tell you, you talk to the students, and they'll tell you who's the good teachers and who not to take from, you know, then you kind of have to, I think that's a good way to get a better education at college, is to seek out the good professors and take from them. And usually you can find that out by word of mouth. I've stumbled upon a few that have been, you know, very good teachers. And so, I mean, I don't think I've regret anything I've done, but I have, you know, been more satisfied with other teachers, other professors than some. You know, you see, after a while, you see all these different approaches the profs are using, you know, and the ways, you know, they have of teaching you. And I think lots of times they look over the class and then they figure out what the majority of the class is. Like, are these people that I'm going to have to spoon feed information to, you know, or are these people that I can let, you know, have more freedom? And I usually will do my studies without being pushed. And so I find when I, you know, when the teacher wants to spoon feed me information and stick directly to the book and not get, you know, philosophical about anything, I get kind of frustrated, because I like to always expand, you know, upon the material. But then sometimes you have a teacher that will just, you know, they've had their lecture set for 20 years and they aren't going to change it, you know, that type of attitude too, and that's discouraging too.
How are you going to fit all of this career into the possibility of a family, or does that even not concern you, or is that a thought that crosses your mind?
I think anymore it doesn't, you know. Most women, at least in my generation, I guess there's always the ones that know that they want to get married and have a family, but anymore, at least here in America, I think, you know, with the divorce rate being so high, you know, you almost have to be practical that you should have a career. You're taking a big risk if you don't have a career here, because apparently our moral value system or whatever in America has not been to stay married, you know, at least in the statistics. And I definitely think I want a career, but I'm going to, I'm willing to pay the price if I have children of, you know, paying for childcare and all that sort of stuff. And I don't think I'll have any problem fitting it in, especially if I'm doing what I want, is, which, you know, composition and performance, I would hope to be able to dictate my hours a little bit more, you know, than as opposed to the strict 8 to 5. I mean, I might have really weird hours, but, you know, sometimes that works out better than just being set into an 8 to 5 job where you wouldn't have any flexibility at all, you know, you wouldn't have any time off, except maybe for a few weeks here or there, you know.
So you will put your career first. Is that what I hear you saying?
Well, yes. I mean, I think I'd like to have, children, except I'd like to wait until my late 30s. I'd like to, you know, maybe have one or two children. But I don't know if I'd say I'd put it first. But, I mean, it's a part of me that I would not give up for, you know, just because I had children.
Do you think it is more difficult for a woman to pull off this juggling act than a man? I mean, a man assumes that he will be able to keep his job.
Yeah.
He assumes that the woman will play the primary role of nurturing the children.
I don't know. Hopefully that ideal might be changing a little bit. It's gradual. It's been gradual. I think it's going to take a long time. But, you know, if you're working at home and you're cleaning and doing everything else at home, that's a full-time job, too. That's, you know, the woman really should be getting paid for. But if, you know, the income's shared, then it is, in a sense, it's, you know, being paid for, too. I don't think I would be happy doing that. I don't think I'd be happy staying at home taking care of a house. I would be very unhappy.
That'll limit the number of available men?
Well, I think it scares, and I think I found out, you know, that it scares a lot of men off.
You don't fit the traditional stereotype of the woman who's willing to
drop everything,
sacrifice everything for her husband.
Yeah,
to stay home.
I think it scared a lot of potential boyfriends or friends, you know. I think it's scared them, especially if they themselves haven't been sure of what they're going to do. And I think I've been threatening in that aspect because I know what I want to do. Yeah, it's kind of sad, but it's...
Well, since you have worked at Michigan State, have you formed any opinions about the students there?
But I'm not sure how accurate they are, but I have a feeling, like I said, I've been around college campuses quite a bit, and it just seems like the type of student, in a sense, has changed. At least, you know, the values, it seems like they've changed. Even from, you know, my older siblings to even people my own age, you know, they talk about, you know, the 60s or, you know, the early 70s, like they were just way off, you know, like these people are totally different from me, and I don't feel that big generation gap between, you know, in fact, I think I relate to a lot of the ideals. You know, a lot of my friends are in their 30s, so I seem to relate to their ideals, and it seems like today a lot of the students are really conservative, you know, very money-oriented type individuals that, you know, are just, it seems like they're only interested, like, in living in suburbia America with, you know, two cars, two BMWs, and whatever lifestyle is, you know, maybe I'm talking about the yuppie generation, but I think it's bigger than that. I think it's an attitude, you know, of what's important. You know, it used to be that it seemed like people were more, you know, younger people were more concerned with politics, and I think, you know, Europeans are, you know, politics are always a big, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I thought they were, you know, they were more of an issue. And here, people don't seem to care, you know, whether they vote or they don't vote. And, you know, a lot of people my age group, and they just don't seem to be interested as long as, you know, they can get out there and make the almighty dollar, you know. they don't seem to be, you know, interested in, you know, forming, you know, good morals, you know. I mean, and when I say good morals, I just don't mean, you know, being Puritan or anything like that. I mean humane, you know, being, you know, humanity type things. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you take an active role in any kind of, I don't see where you would have any time. But, I mean, to what extent have you attempted to support in any way some of the more noble causes of the, well, I know you're familiar with what the students in the 60s did. I mean,
yeah.
They were concerned with civil rights. They were concerned with the war in Vietnam.
Exactly. Well, I was involved in, at least, you know, getting people, as far as the Nicaraguan issue, you know, the Contras and stuff like that, I was involved in, you know, protesting against that and writing letters to stop the aid to the Contras. And there's, I guess there's a lot you can do, and just on a social level, you know, I think I've helped maybe a lot of my friends. I would hope to think, you know, open their eyes to, you know, the Reaganism type government that we've been having, you know, here for quite a while. So I think I've, you know, been somewhat active in that. And then other things I've gotten involved in through work, like right to know issues, you know, as far as against management, you know, and corporations about, you know, chemicals and being exposed to hazardous chemicals and things like that. I guess those are some ways, you know, maybe eventually if I have something to say, you know, maybe through my music.
How did you escape the yuppie mentality? I mean,
I don't know.
These young kids who are only concerned with making the almighty dollar and who aren't concerned with social or moral issues. You are concerned. Why?
I don't know if it was influence, you know, from my parents and from, you know, older siblings, but my parents were never very socialite or social butterflies, you know. They were never involved in that type of activity. You know, they were more involved in things that were happening around them as opposed to just, you know, being social all the time and doing things with the crowd type thing. So I don't know. I don't think that I'm an unsocial person, but I don't think I socialize to climb ladders, you know. I don't think, you know, I think I try and spend my free time wisely. I don't know why. That's a good question. Maybe I'm not as easily susceptible or sold on certain things that are popular just because it's considered cool or something to have a BMW and a condo and a degree, BMA, you know. That didn't attract me.
Well, I don't sense that you really rebelled against your parents.
No.
But they gave you very positive roles to follow.
Is that
accurate to say that?
Yeah, I'd say that. I mean, they aren't perfect people, and, you know, either am I. Accept them for what they are, and we don't match up on all our ideals, you know, but I'm still, because, you know, every generation sometimes seems to be a little bit more lax about certain issues, but no, I don't think they're pretty sensible people.
How about a rivalry with your older sister, is it?
No, we were very, very close. She said she wanted to do everything there ever was with me from the day I was born, and that was pretty much the way it was until she moved away. She's like me a lot.
So you never had a really intense rivalry of any kind?
Not really. I have an older brother, too. He's a middle brother, but I don't think, you know, there was a far enough, there was age group between all of us. There was 4 years between all of us, so we weren't trying to get the same things at the same time in life. You know, by the time my sister was in college, you know, my brother was in high school and I was still, you know, younger. So we were at different steps along the way. We were never battling over the same toys or the same car or the same, you know, having to compete directly with each other, no. But,
Well, when I'm through with this, I will write a transcription and send it to you. So
okay.
You can have it for your grandchildren or whatever. But if you could try, and if you were going to say something about your future or about your life that you would want to pick up and read 10 years from now or 15 years from now, what would it be? What would you say? I mean, you have this transcription in your head, and you're pulling it out of the drawer 15 or 20 years ago. You're reviewing what your thoughts were at the time. Is there a message that you want to send to someone, to the Holly of 20 years down the pike?
Well, I'd say that do what you want to do. Do what's right for the moment. You know, don't look back in the past to regret. You know, only look back to correct your mistakes. And relax. Don't stress out, okay? And,
one of the questions was that the Division of Student Affairs at MSU prepared a student profile, and in a questionnaire they asked the students if they desired improvement in a number of areas. Huh. And the areas were the ability to listen to others, that was one area, the ability to give and receive love, the ability, that was another. Third was the ability to get along with others. And another area was the ability to maintain lasting relationships. And that's the list of them right there.
Now, are these personal things they want to improve? Okay.
In a general sense.
Okay.
And what amazed me was that 50% of the students said they needed no improvement in any of these areas. And if you, what is your reaction to that? And how would you have answered? The first question is, what is your reaction to that statistic, that 50% said they really had no desire to improve in any of those areas?
I think it must be nice to know it all. I guess I'm not one of those people who know it all already, you know. I think that's very, they'll probably look back on their answers if they were giving a mailing of their answers, you know, 30 years from now, or even 10 years down the line, they'll probably look back on that and, you know, see how I don't want to say naive or, you know, just unaware that, you know, at the time that they, hopefully, that they were, because, I mean, this is, you know, people in their 20s and they've already achieved, you know, all these things already, and they don't need any improvement. You know, that's very hard for me to believe, let alone, you know, comprehend. I don't think they understand what a lot of these things are. I don't think that, I mean, even, you know, the thing about lasting relationships, if everyone's, you know, half of all marriages fail, there's got to be something wrong. You know, these days there's got to be something wrong that they aren't working. The ability to listen to others, I don't know, people really listen to anybody else anymore. I don't know, maybe they don't want to. I don't know. I don't think they understand what the questions were. I don't think they understand these type of feelings then, if they don't think they need any improvement. I don't think they've ever really experienced love then. Because love, you know, is always growing. It's always something. You're learning something all the time.
Well, maybe they were all lying in order to get out of the room quickly. To avoid thinking about the question.
Yeah.
Well, unless you have something further to say, I think I've got something to go by.
Okay, that's fine.